Harper Audio presents The Lady Most Willing, a novel in three parts by Julia Quinn, Eloisa James, and Connie Brockway, performed by Susan Duerden. Prologue. Some said the legendary storm of 1819 that screamed down from the north pushed madness ahead of it. Others said the only madness exhibited that night was born inside a bottle of contraband whiskey. And then there were those who claimed that magic rode vanguard to the snow, sweeping the halls of Finnevere Castle and inspiring its laird to heights of greatness. Or something along those lines. All that's known for certain is that it was a chilly December day when Taran Ferguson led his clansmen to the brow of a hill from which they could see Belmere Castle glowing like a jewel in the dark Highland night. As his men told the story later, the wind whipped Taran's tartan back from his shoulders as he forced his steed to paw the air, then brought the magnificent beast back down to earth. Nearly disbalanced, 'tis true, but that was part of the miracle. He'd drunk a bottle of whiskey and kept his seat.
A glorious and sacred task lays ahead of us this night, he bellowed. Our cause is just, our purpose noble. Down yonder sits the Earl of Maycott, the English Earl of Maycott.
This brought forth a roar from his men, and perhaps a belch or two.
He sits amongst his gold cups and fine china,
Taran continued grandiosely,
seeking to worm his way into our good graces by bidding the finest Highland families to dine and dance with him.
His clansmen glowered back at him. None of them, including Taran, had been invited. Not that they'd wanted to be, or so they told themselves.
No English interloper will seduce a Scottish lassie on my watch,
Taran shouted.
Scotland is for the Scots!
There was another obligatory roar of approval from his men.
You ken full well that I have been sowing wild oats since my dear wife died some 20 years ago,
Taran continued.
But sadly, laddies, you also know that none of those seeds bore fruit, for it takes a rich field indeed to nourish a seed as mighty as that of the Ferguson.
Taran had the good sense not to see how this was received.
My line is threatened with extinction. Aye, extinction. And where, I ask you, will you all be then? Where will your children be without a Ferguson laird to see to their well-being?
A better place than we are now,
one of the men muttered, pulling his tartan closer against the screaming wind. Taran ignored him.
Yet all is not lost. You can, I have two nephews by my younger sisters.
Unhappy mutters met this statement. One of Ferguson's sisters had married a refugee from the French Revolution, a penniless comte. The other had wed an English earl who turned out to be as disagreeable as he was English. Taran raised his hand, quieting the grumblers.
It's the half-French one, Rochefort, who'll inherit my castle.
He paused dramatically.
Think on it, lads. If my Frenchy nephew marries a Scots woman, his son will be one of us. A true Scotsman.
He slashed the air with his broadsword so vehemently the momentum nearly carried him off his saddle, but at the last moment he righted himself.
Or mostly. And it's the same for my English nevy as well.
I'm sorry to tell you, but the Earl is engaged to an English woman,
one of the men called out.
My wife's cousin lives in London and wrote about it to me wife.
Oakley was going to be wed,
Taran said briskly.
But it caught as intended, practicing steps with a dancing master that were never meant to see a ballroom floor.
He paused dramatically.
A French dancing master!